So the title of our discussion today, and I want to be able to engage you in a conversation if you have a question, is will homosexuals go to heaven or do homosexuals go to hell? All right, look at me now. Focus on me. I don't want to call anybody out. So just focus on me the whole time. If you need a little space, maybe the pew's too crowded, you can get up and move to the one behind you. Let's pray. Lord, guide our discussion. Lead and direct us. Give us attentiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have four grades represented here, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade, right? Four grades, almost 100 students. So here's the reality. Probably at least one, and if not more, of you will, quote, come out of the closet when you graduate. That's startling, but the track record of BBA now for these last 20-plus years is that every couple of years, sometimes almost every year, a student comes out of the closet and declares that they were actually a homosexual the whole time that they were in BBA. In fact, right now, if you're thinking you know of seniors and previous graduates, you can think right now who have come out of the closet, can't you? Yes or no? Nod your head if you can think of somebody that previously was a student here, graduated from here, and has come out of the closet. Nod your head if you can think of somebody. Yeah, it's pretty common. In fact, the world that we're living in is just radically changing. It's just unbelievable how it's sweeping through. Does anybody know, paying attention to current events, what is happening at the Supreme Court right now and what decision will be rendered in the month of June? Who knows? You know? That's right. The Supreme Court heard last week arguments based on both sides to determine whether an individual state has the right to declare what marriage looks like in their state. Right now we're divided as a nation. How are we divided as a nation? Who can tell me? Yep. That's right. So right now we're divided as a nation. We have 50 states, and those states are not unified. The state of North Carolina, same-sex marriage was voted as unconstitutional a couple of years ago. Other states, Hawaii, for example, have determined what? What makes them different? Talk to me. What makes them different? In Hawaii, two guys can get married under law. In Hawaii, two females can get married under law. So now the issue becomes, you were married in Hawaii, and then you relocate to North Carolina, you relocate to Alabama, you relocate to a conservative state, and the question is, does that state recognize your... Okay, y'all can talk to me. We're going to participate. Recognize your marriage. Now, why is this important from a corporate perspective? A corporate perspective. And then we'll ask the question, why is this important from a state perspective? Answer it first from a corporate perspective. Any thinkers in this room? Okay, that's not a corporate perspective. That would be a state perspective. Let's stay with it. What is one thing that corporations provide for their employees? They provide benefits. So the question then becomes, if I have a male as my partner, does he qualify for health care benefits as a spouse? And the corporation says yes, or the corporation says no. Let's say it's Hobby Lobby. Does anybody know Hobby Lobby? Hobby Lobby is a very Christian organization. The founders are solid Bible-believing Christians. And they say, we are happy to provide health care for the spouses of our employees. But we're not supporting same-sex marriage. So that's the dividing line. Now let's move to what Kyrie made reference to, which is the states. The most advantageous way for you typically to file taxes is married filing jointly. That's normally where you get the best tax break. So now the question becomes, does a state give that same benefit to two guys or two girls who are married? Or does the state say, no, that benefit is only limited to a gender of male and female? So that's why, DeMarcus, the Supreme Court is going to give a ruling to determine whether states have the rights to be different, or will the national level, at the federal level, go, nope, that right has been removed from you. Now, those of you that know your history will recall that this isn't the first time we've had an issue with states' rights. Help me out. Absolutely, the Civil War. Same thing, multiple times. And how much will the states continue to allow the right to be removed and removed? Now, most recently, we had a sports figure come out of the closet. Anybody knew who that was? And communicated that he's now a what? A woman. After three marriages. Three marriages. So for three marriages, he was a guy married, and now all of a sudden he's a, quote, woman. I mean, gender confusion is everywhere right now. It is unbelievable the level of confusion that's existing. In fact, right now, there's probably one student sitting here that's battling with gender confusion. Probably. And they're keeping it to themselves because they know in this Christian environment they wouldn't want anybody to know about it, and they'd be embarrassed and all that. But once they graduate, they'll come out of the closet and communicate their gender confusion. So does the Bible speak to this? Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Now, when it comes to the church, let's talk about the church. The churches, the Christian churches. I'm not talking about denominations. Hear me out now. Let's just stay all within Baptists for the sake of discussion. Baptist churches are divided in three ways. Let me help you understand the division. The first one is LGBT friendly churches. All right, what would that mean? A LGBT friendly church. What would that mean? Yeah, you gave me the acronym, but what would it mean with regard to a LGBT friendly church? What would that mean? What's that? Yeah, they are accepting of the homosexuals. You can be the pastor, you can be a deacon, you can be a Sunday school teacher, you can be a voting member. We don't see anything wrong with it from a biblical perspective. That would be an LGBT friendly church. All right, that's one group. Then there's a middle group. And the middle group is lukewarm. The middle group is remaining silent on the issue. So they're not over on this side. That would be the LGBT friendly side. And they're not over here. That would be the Bible believing side. They're in the middle. Now here in Fayetteville, we have all three groups. I'm not going to name any names, but we have all three groups. If you do some research, you can find that out. Now this is important for you to understand, because hopefully most of you are going to go off to a church and become an active member in a church when you graduate and become married and all that. Hopefully most of you are not going to bail on Christianity. And so you need to find out, what kind of church is this? Is this a LGBT friendly church, or is this a church that's not going to address the issue? We're just going to remain silent. That means we don't ask any questions. We don't deal with anything. If we see two guys sitting in the pew, we don't inquire about, do you live in the same house or anything? We just basically, there was that show, I can't remember that Hogan's Heroes, was that the name of that show? Is there one student that can remember Hogan's Heroes? All right, there's a handful. Wow, only four of you? Let's do a little bit more. Who's ever watched Hogan's Heroes? Just one episode. Right here. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, my goodness. Mr. Farmer, we need to find Hogan's Heroes on YouTube. And
I have the whole six seasons at home.
Okay, the whole six seasons. All right, what was that dude that would see no evil? Sergeant Schultz. All right. Sergeant Schultz, I'm not saying it very well, was a German soldier, a sergeant as such, and he was kind of a klutz, wasn't he? Kind of a goober of a guy, right? And anytime the American soldiers were doing something in this POW camp that wasn't authorized, he would kind of, I see no evil, I hear no evil, that kind of an idea. Well, you know what? There's a whole bunch of churches that are like that. A whole bunch of churches like that at all. They don't want to know what their members are doing behind the closed doors. They don't want to know what their members are doing at home. They just want you to show up, fill a spot, drop a check in the offering plate, and they're good. That's the what group? That's the lukewarm group. What's this group over here? All right, what's this group over here? All right, now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So the first question we're going to answer, and it may take us two chapels to get through all this. You may have to put up with me for one more week. But we're going to do, does God create gender or do I determine it? Does God create gender or do I determine it? In other words, do I decide whether I'm a male or a female, or does God make that decision? Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let's read it together. I'm reading from the ESV. So God created man in his own, read it with me, image. In the image of God, he created him. And then what's it say? Male and female, he created them. So now, right now, the church is really divided over this issue. Because you have two options at this point. Option number one is God created Mr. Hooker right there, and God said, Nathan is going to be a male. And that was God's decision. God's decision. Option number two is God created two choices, male and female, and you get to decide whether you're male or female. If you all along, although you were created as a male, have always had some effeminate characteristics to you, and you've always had a liking towards that type of idea, and inside you've been a female cooped up forever, and then at some point when you become an adult, you have various operations done in order to correct the mistake. Or you don't go that far, Jordan. You just wear feminine clothes on particular days. You dress in drag. You're transgender. And I'm supposed to understand that it was a mistake biologically, that there was an error biologically, and that the true you is actually a woman, as in the case of this athlete that was mentioned. So what does the biblical text say? How would you understand the biblical text in the simplest way? What does the biblical text say? If that's the word of God and God said it, what does it say? God did it, right? That God decided, George, you're going to be a male. Is that what the text says? It's real simple. So now we have to decide, is this the word of God or not? Is this the word of God or not? Because this clearly says that God made it. Now, let's take it a step further. And this is only for those of you that actually think. Most of you don't think. I understand that. Mark over there is dazing off. I'm tracking that. He's not following along. I'm used to that. But there are a few thinkers. If God didn't make them male and female, what else do you lose in that text? What else do you lose? This is going to require you to think. If God didn't make them male and female, what else do you lose in the text? His image. That's right. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have half the text being correct, which is they were made in his image, but the bottom half of the text being incorrect, God didn't make them male and female. Now, what are the... Now, think with me. You're going to have to think at this point. What are the implications of losing the fact that humans are image bearers of God? What are the implications of losing the idea that humans are image bearers of God? We're just animals. That's right. We're just animals. And so if we're just animals, go ahead. Of course. If we're just animals following instincts, I mean, what do we do with chickens every single day all over the United States, 24 hours a day? We slaughter them and eat them. What do we do with cows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? We eat them. And if we are just animals, then you should be allowed to exist as a human as long as you make a contribution. But the moment you stop making a contribution to society, we end your life. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the idea blacks, Hispanics, whites, all ethnicities are all made in the image of God, all valuable, but God didn't make them male and female. So once you separate those two ideas, then you dehumanize the human race. And once you dehumanize the human race, what are the extreme implications of that? Is it wrong for one ethnicity to enslave another ethnicity? Why? Why is it wrong for one race to enslave another race? Why is that wrong? Why is it wrong to enslave one race? See, I would argue the reason it's wrong is because all races, ethnicities, are made in the image of God. And that I, as a white person and male, am no more of an image bearer of God than you are as a different ethnicity and a different gender. That we are both equally, George, image bearers of God. But once you lose the fact that God created gender and you go to the Darwinian model, which is we all evolved, then what makes it wrong to eliminate human beings when they no longer make a contribution? For example, you're 65 years old and you're laying in a bed in a nursing home and you don't do anything but lay there 24 hours a day. Someone wipes after you. Someone cares for you 24 hours a day. Why not just end that life? You know, euthanasia, just go ahead and end that life. Wouldn't you save thousands of dollars that are being paid by Medicaid and Medicare and those nursing industries? Just end the life. And what would the argument be for not ending life at that point? It's not yours to end because they were made in the image of God. So now we have to ask the question, is Genesis 1:27, can I trust it to be the word of God? Look at Matthew, please. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 19. Now this chapel is really only for those who are serious about their walk for the Lord and are wanting to understand the complicated issues of today. I'm not here to entertain you or keep you hopping or paying attention. If you want to sleep, just go get a pew in the back and rack out. But there are a handful of students here at BBA that are serious about understanding the Word of God and knowing the issues of life that you're going to face in your generation. So let's read Matthew 19, verse 3. And the Pharisees came up to him, being Jesus, and they tested him by asking Jesus, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Now, what just happened and why did we go there? I'm expecting you to think right now. I'm expecting you to mature into future freshmen in college and be ready to be in an ethics class or a worldview class or a philosophy class and really think about the implications of what we just did when we ran to Matthew and we heard the words of Jesus. What did Jesus just do? What's that? Not yet. He didn't define marriage. Come on, there's got to be somebody more than Kyrie. What's that? Absolutely. One person thought about that. Jesus just authenticated what? Genesis 1:27. What do we mean by the word authenticated? Maybe we need to define that word. Maybe we need it on our vocabulary. What does it mean to authenticate something, Jordan? Authenticate it. What's it mean to authenticate it? What does it mean? All right, let's change the subject so we can follow along. Have you ever paid with a $50 bill or a $100 bill and the cashier pulls out something and marks the bill? Have you ever done that? Do you do that at Chick-fil-A? You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen a $50 bill What are they doing when they take that ink and scratching it across that bill? What are they doing? That's right. They are authenticating the bill. By authenticating it, they're verifying that it is actually a true $50 bill. This is what Jesus does. He says, have you not, what word? Have you not, look at your Bible, have you not what?
Read.
When he says, have you not read, he's referring to something that was previously what? Written. Previously written, how he, who's the he there? God made them what? Male and female. So now, according to Jesus, if we were to find Jesus and we would ask Jesus, Jesus, are they made male and female by the choice of a sovereign God, or is it a happenstance based on biological linking of two sets of, is it chromosomes? Which one is it, Jesus? What would he answer, George? God made the decision. Now, here's the amazing thing. Stay with me, please. Sal, I had three choices of churches. The first one was what? LGBT-friendly churches. The middle one was what, George? Yeah, see no evil, hear no evil, do nothing. Those are silent churches. They don't address the issue. They don't ask any questions. They don't care what you do behind closed doors. That's your business. And group number three was what? Bible-believing churches. These are churches that address the issue. They deal with it. All three of these churches, group number one, group number two, group number three, call themselves Christian churches. Christian churches. They all would say that Jesus is the Son of God. They all would say Jesus died on the cross. I'm thinking about the churches here in Fayetteville. All three of those churches would sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. All three of them would sing. And all three of them would teach something about the gospel. All three of them would call Jesus the Son of God. Now, think about the disconnect that has just been created. Come on, stay with me now. Think about the disconnect that says, I believe Jesus to be the Son of God, but I believe that gender is determined by a biological union of two sets of chromosomes. What is the problem with reconciling those two positions? Yes, ma'am. And how does one contradict the other? That's right. Jesus said that God made a male and female. So what is Jesus if God didn't make them male and female? He's a liar. And if he's a liar, then he cannot be the sinless Savior who died on a cross. You cannot have Darwinianism and Jesus being authentically the Son of God. You have to choose, either I am a follower of Darwin or a follower of Jesus. You cannot be both. Because if you're both, if you are both, Jesus is a liar. Let's keep reading. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife and they shall become one flesh. They are no longer two but one. Now, what did Jesus just do? Say it nice and loud. He just defined marriage for us. That's what he did. DeMarcus, in the Greek, it's not spouse and spouse. It's two gender-specific terms. What do we mean by the phrase, angel, gender-specific terms? Gender-specific terms. What do we mean by gender-specific terms? What do we mean by what is gender? Male and female. So, is it possible for a man to be a wife? Why not? Because that's a gender-specific term. Is it possible for a female to be a husband? No, because that's a gender-specific term. The same holds true in the Greek. In the Greek text, in this situation, it's gender-specific. And in this text, Jesus makes it very clear that from the beginning, God made them male and female, and that males were supposed to leave mom and daddy and go find a spouse. Yes or no? A spouse? A wife. It doesn't say spouse. Is spouse a gender-specific term? No. Both genders can be spouses. But it doesn't use a gender-neutral term. It uses a gender-specific term. And then they become one what? Flesh. One flesh. Let's continue. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man separate. Let's continue. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give certificate of divorce and send her away? He said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses, let me stop right there. What did Jesus now do for us? What did Jesus now identify for us in that statement? No. What did Jesus now do for us? Kyrie? No. What did he do with regard to Moses? What did he just do for us? Yes. More than that. Go ahead. That's exactly what he just did. That is so important for you to get. You're going to be in a freshman class at ECU, and you're going to get ambushed by a liberal professor. And I am helping you get ready for the ambush. Because, Kyrie, what Jesus just did when he said in verse number 3, have you not, what word was it? Read. And then he makes particular reference to Moses as the what? Help me out. The person who wrote the text. The Mosaic authorship. I'm getting you ready for a freshman class in college. For seniors, it's right around the corner. In 4 months, everybody's going to be expecting you to step into a college class and act like an adult. Jesus just authenticated the Mosaic authorship of the book of Genesis. So once again, Kyrie, you've got two choices. Either Jesus is telling the truth and Moses wrote it, or what's the other alternative? He's a liar and we can't trust him. So from Jesus' perspective, the Father made them male and female. Now, what about this gender confusion? What are we to do with this gender confusion? Is there any problems with a guy wearing a bra? Any problems with a guy putting on girls' panties? Is God okay with that? Is this gender confusion okay? Is it okay for a female to cut her hair real short and act as guy as she can? Is it okay for her to make all kinds of corrections to the way she looks and the dress she has so that she can now be a guy? Now, folks, let's recognize this is the world you're going to live in. I may live 20 more years. That'll be awesome if I get 20 more years out of this planet. 20 years. Put me at 70, somewhere around there, George. You got 50 plus more years, 60 more years. If we've seen in my little lifetime these huge shifts in gender orientation, what's it going to be like when you're an adult? What's it going to be like when you're my age? Because the gender confusion is just everywhere right now. The options of deciding what you are. So does God have anything to say about it? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And I'm going to show you a dilemma. A dilemma. I'm being upfront with you about all the issues. Verse number 5. 5. Chapter 22. Who is our spokesman in Deuteronomy? It's Moses. That's right. And Jesus authenticated that Moses is a real person who wrote what book? Who wrote what book? Genesis. And these are Moses' sermons. Would you look at verse 5 with me? Verse 5 says, a woman should not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whatsoever those things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So let me ask you this question. Is God okay with cross-dressing? Is God okay with on Friday nights you putting on a dress and high heels and eyelashes and extending those things and for 24 hours perpetrating a fraud that you're a girl? Is God okay with that? Is God okay with that? What? It's an abomination. It's an abomination. Now we've got a little bit of a sticking point here, and they'll ask us this question. Would you please, let's move on down. Stay with me now. Would you look at verse 11? You shall not wear cloth of wool and linen mixed together. Mr. May, now we've got an issue. Now we've got a sticking point, and I'll explain it to you, and I don't have a great answer at this point, but I'm going to do some work on it. The question reasonably asked is, why is it wrong in verse 5, but you Christians are all wearing mixed fabrics today? Did you understand the issue, Jacob? Did I just explain it to you? I'm sure that if we check the fiber content of the polo that you're wearing right now, that it would not be pure cotton or pure wool or pure polyester. It would be a what? A mix. So here's what the skeptic wants to know, and it's a reasonable question. Why is it that you guys enforce verse 5, but you don't follow verse 11? Okay. The new covenant. That's a reasonable thing. You need to explore that some more. You have to think about that. Is that not a reasonable question? Jonah.
It could be that God doesn't necessarily have a problem with mixed clothing, but because that was the law at the time, he wanted them to follow the law. But verse 5 specifies that that's an abomination to the Lord. It doesn't say that in verse 11.
Okay, so Jonah says, for those of you that couldn't hear, he says, notice the difference between something being an abomination and simply a prohibition. All right. Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to do that on our Thursday podcast that our pastors do every Thursday. Now we want to ask this question. Is homosexual behavior wrong? We're not there yet. Hold on. Moses says yes, and Jesus says nothing. What I'm doing right now is I'm equipping you for the arguments that you're going to hear. Do you understand that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus said nothing about homosexuality? Nothing. Let's go to Leviticus, please. We have two references in Leviticus. Leviticus 18, verse 22. Chapter 18, verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is what? An abomination. Turn over to chapter 20, verse 13. If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. they shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Now, folks, how strong of language is that? Jordan, could you make that language any stronger? How could you think about making that language any stronger? It'd be hard to. It's an abomination. And what else is associated besides it being an abomination? Death. Is that strong? Could you think of anything more strong than death? I could think of one thing stronger than death. Could anyone think of something besides me, one thing stronger than death? Hell. That's right. Eternity in hell. That would be the only thing that would be stronger than death, would be eternity in hell. But according to the Mosaic law, if a man lies with a male in the same way that he lies with a female, it's an abomination, and both of them are to be what? Put to death. Capital punishment. Now, here's the argument, and this is what you're going to hear, and this is the argument that's portrayed by what church is right here? The LGBT-friendly church says, we follow Jesus, and Jesus didn't say anything about it. Here's what else Jesus didn't say anything about. He didn't say anything about pedophilia either. What is pedophilia? That's right. Sexual relationships with children. Pedophilia. P-E-D-O, as in like a pediatrician, child. Philia, as in the Greek word for love, like Philadelphia. Put the two together and you have this word, child love. So now, how are you going to, if you are the, listen to me very closely, stay with me. If you are the LGBT-friendly church, how are you going to argue that this is okay, but that's not okay? How are you going to argue legitimately, if you're the LGBT-friendly church, right here, the LGBT-friendly church, and your argument is, I'll get to you in just a second, homosexual, fine. Lesbian love, fine. Transgender love, fine. All fine, but pedophilia is off limits because what? It's against the law. Is that how you're going to argue it? I'm talking about from a Christian perspective. Jacob.
I think in some ways they may argue that in most cases we see with pedophilia, the kid isn't okay with it, but with homosexual relationships, they're both.
Right. Okay. So two consenting adults. That's the argument you're going to go with, right? Okay. What happens, Jacob, when the kid's okay with it? And then the second follow-on question to you is, at what age are you no longer a kid? Because you're 14 or 15 in this room, right? Several of you are 14 and 15? 16? 14, please raise your hand. None? 15, raise your hand. Okay. Are you a kid? You're a kid? In the same way that a five-year-old's a kid? China? No. Because at 15, you're driving a car with a permit. We don't have five-year-olds, so clearly there's a difference. You're maturing, aren't you, becoming to make choices? So at 14, can you decide that I like having sex with 50-year-olds? Oh, you're right now, you're saying gross. I understand that, and I appreciate that. But there might not be a 14-year-old that feels that way. Do you see where I'm going with that, Jacob? At what age is now consenting? Because it's normally 16 or 17 or 18, yep.
I guess it depends how people view it. Until you move out of your house, I guess, is when you become an adult.
Right, but the government doesn't see it that way. Right.
From a Christian perspective.
Yeah, from a Christian perspective, perhaps. But depending on what state you're in will determine what age you're allowed to have sex without any issues. Some states are as low as 13, 14, 15, depending upon the state. Others are as high as 18. It varies across the board. What I'm trying to show you here is the inconsistency of limiting to biblical authority to just what Jesus said. Does Jesus address drunk driving? No. Is drunk driving wrong? Why? Jesus said nothing about it. And so the argument is based on implication? Because he didn't specifically address it.
But he told us to love our neighbor. So how can we love a neighbor if you indirectly kill them?
Sure. By extension, right?
Yes, sir.
By extension. And I have to read into that. I'm trying to help you get ready for the complexity of the world you're going into. And the arguments that are going to be used if you decide to have a conversation with somebody about these things. Most Christians remain terrified and silent. Why? They don't know what to say. That's right. They're not educated. They're not aware of the inconsistencies. So once they're in Deuteronomy 22 and they get slammed with the idea of mixed fibers, they're taken off guard and they're done because they were embarrassed. All right, we're just about done time-wise. Does anyone have any questions? We're going to get into what does Paul say and the Apostle John next week. Does anyone have any questions about what we've covered so far? Happy to entertain a question. Jacob. I haven't answered that question yet. You have to come back next week. You know, like the screen comes up and it says to be continued, and then you tune in so you want to come back. Not that it's optional for you. DeMarcus might have a sister come sign him out next week so that he doesn't come. But anyone have any questions? Do you see the disconnect between... Yes.
Some people see being gay and being a lesbian as a sin. So, in a sense, is that... Well, not in a sense, but is that how you see it being a sin? And you can...
I clearly see the behavior as sinful. No question about it. That if two guys get in bed together and do the thing, that that's sin.
So do you think that they could
repent?
And get saved and realize that it is sin?
Could two teenagers that have premarital sex repent and make things right? Yes or no? Okay. Then... would you see that the same could hold true to two others? Sure. Anyone else have a question? Okay, we're going to look at what Paul has to say next week, and we're going to look at what John has to say. Yep, China. Okay, a friend who claims to be bi. Well, the first thing I want to know is, do they profess to be a follower of Christ? Okay, that's the direction that I would want to go, China. It's just getting them in love with Jesus. Focusing on introducing them to the God who created them. Introduce the idea that there's a Jesus who died on a cross to save them from their sins. I would focus more on their walk with the Lord than I would their sexual behavior. Yep, that's the direction I would go. Just witness with them from an evangelistic perspective. Anyone else have a question? Okay, Father God in heaven, we thank you for this chapel time we were able to have. I pray, Lord, that the students would think hard in the next week and prepare to engage in a thorough conversation about these matters. In Jesus' name, amen.